Scripture reading today, they're both from the Gospel. The first one is from John 19, verses 28 through 30, and it goes like this. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the Scripture, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And then hear these words from Luke 23, verses 44 through 47. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, certainly, this man was innocent. The words of God. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I pray once again that these words will first be acceptable to you, that in your own way you will use them to draw us closer to you and to each other, and that our faith can grow also. We pray in your name. Amen. There was a seminary student one time, and he had to take a test, and this was an important test for him to take. It was an oral test. And if he didn't pass this test, he might not be ordained, and so you can see how important it was. Well, the professor giving the oral test started by asking him questions about the history of the Old Testament. The student didn't do very well. The professor asked him some questions about the history of the New Testament. The student didn't do very well. The professor started asking him questions about the history of the church. And again, the student didn't do very well. At this point, the professor started feeling sorry for this student. And so he started asking him simple questions about history, the things that he should have learned in Sunday school and confirmation. So the professor said, can you name the seven last words of Jesus that he spoke from the cross? Do you know any of them? And this student, he stumbled and bumbled and tumbled around. He wasn't really sure what the professor was talking about, let alone knowing any of those things. And finally, he thought of his own situation, and he said with a big grin on his face, you know, I do know one thing. The last thing Jesus said is, it is finished. Because he said those words, this student was ordained. So if you think about it, what did Jesus mean when he said, it is finished? Was he talking about his life as in, it's all over now, I'm dead? Or was he talking about something else, something more? For example, Michelangelo, the great artist, he might have said, it is finished. When he put that last brushstroke on the Sistine Chapel, can you picture him standing back and saying, it's done, my job is finished, it's all over with? Or if you remember Don Larson, former pitcher of the New York Yankees, he might have said in 1956, it is finished, after he threw that last pitch of the last inning for the only perfect game in World Series history. It's over, it's finished, I did my job, he might have said. So, what did Jesus mean when he said, it is finished? By the way, this is the fifth and last message in a series that we're calling Final Words or Final Statements, and we hope that it's been meaningful for you. To help us answer the question, what did Jesus mean when he said, it is finished? Let's listen to someone who was there that first Good Friday, almost 2,000 years ago. He was the Roman centurion. I had a hard job. I had the responsibility of carrying out the crucifixion orders. Now, I didn't personally execute my victims. I had men under me for that. But I was responsible for making sure that the victims died when they were supposed to die. Like I said, I had a hard job. I gave the orders to flog the prisoners. I gave the orders to beat the prisoners. I gave the orders to march the prisoners to the top of Calvary's hill, and I gave the orders to drive the spikes into their hands and feet, and I gave the orders to raise the crosses, and I gave the orders to take the bodies down. I had grown immune to all the blood and gore of my job. It got to the point where it didn't bother me one bit to hear a grown man crying out in pain. You see, I had a job to do, and I did my job well. And at the end of the day, I could put all of that behind me, and I could go home to my own family and be a father to my children and a husband to my wife. It had to be like that. I couldn't afford to show any sympathy for those people that I crucified. Can you imagine what would happen to me if I felt sorry for those people I crucified? Or if I felt bad about doing what I was doing? No. I had a job to do, and I did my job, period. It was about 8:30 on a Friday morning when I ordered my men to lead Jesus and the other two criminals to the top of Calvary's hill. Now, by this time, we'd already flogged and beaten Jesus. I knew of Jesus, but not real well. I was a Roman, and Jesus was a Jew. That's about all I knew. But then a friend of mine said that he knew Jesus, that Jesus had helped heal his servant in Galilee, where my friend was stationed. And my friend said, Jesus didn't even touch my servant. He just said a couple of words, and my servant was made well. My friend called it a miracle. I didn't believe in miracles, especially Jewish miracles. Jews were always causing us Romans trouble, and therefore I didn't really have a high opinion of Jews. But my friend said, Jesus isn't like the other Jews. He teaches people to love their enemies, to pray for those who persecute him, to turn the other cheek instead of seeking revenge. Well, that was all fine and dandy, but a job is a job. And my job that day was to lead Jesus and the two other criminals to the top of Calvary's hill and to crucify them. I couldn't show any signs of weakness. I had men under me, and they needed me to be a strong leader in situations like this. Drive the spikes, I ordered that day, and raise the crosses. And they did what I ordered. Throughout the day, I kept on looking at Jesus and the other men, and I watched as my own men, they gambled for Jesus' clothes, and I watched the crowd of people, and they were yelling insults at Jesus and calling him all sorts of horrible names. I watched the religious leaders, good, solid religious leaders that day, and they were making fun of Jesus. Every once in a while that day, Jesus would say something. I remember once he asked God to forgive us. Us. Can you believe that? His tormentors. Here Jesus was, he was hanging from the cross that we had put him on, and yet he was asking God to forgive us. I couldn't believe it. Another time, Jesus turned to the criminal who was hanging to his left, and he said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then, it was about noon, something strange happened. Dark, dark clouds rolled into the whole land. It was like it was nighttime in the middle of the day without any moon. I'd never seen anything like it before. And I thought to myself, this is really strange. What's going on here? This isn't right. And then I felt a small earthquake move the ground. And many people who were there that day, they ran away in fear. You see, they were terrified that this was a sign of God or something. Again, I didn't know what to think what was going on. And then I heard Jesus say, "I thirst." And so we took some sour wine and we put it on a sponge and we gave it to Jesus and he took it. It was quiet for a while after that. And then, about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out again. And I'll never forget his words. He said, "It is finished." Only it wasn't a cry from someone who was dying, like I thought it might be, but rather it was almost like a cry of victory. Do you understand? Like a job had been done. It was like a cry from someone whose mission had been completed. And then Jesus died. I stood there for the longest time just staring at him, and I was scared. What have I done? I asked myself. And then I had a strange feeling come over me. I had never felt this feeling this way before. It was a feeling of remorse and sorrow and even shame. And I turned to my men who were standing there and I said, "Certainly, this man was innocent. He was the Son of God." And then for the first time in years, I wept. Today I'm still a Roman centurion. Although I'm not in charge of crucifixions anymore. I transferred to another position shortly after that first Good Friday. I also became a believer that day. Somehow, God had changed my heart, and I realized that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was everything he said he was. And so today, whenever anybody asks me the question, "What did Jesus mean when he said, 'It is finished'?" I always answer by saying, "This is what he meant. First of all, he meant that our sins are forgiven, that Jesus took your sins and my sins, and he became a sacrificial lamb for all of us. Second, I say, because our sins are forgiven, we've all been given a second chance. A second chance to lead the kind of life that God wants us to lead. And third, because we are forgiven, 'It is finished' means that we all have a home waiting for us once we leave this world. And it's called heaven, that Jesus is there right now building you and me a mansion or a place to live once our life in this world has ended. So you see, Jesus did far more that day than simply die on a cross. He finished his job here. He did what God had sent him to do. He had completed, if you will, his mission. Whenever my grandchildren ask me, "Grandpa," they say, "how much do you love us?" I always say to them, "I love you so much that I would die for you." This is how I remember Jesus. I remember how he stretched out his arms on the cross and he said to all of us, "I love you this much," and he died for you. Amen.